I want to say thank you for inviting me here today. It's a pleasure, it's a privilege to get a chance to have the opportunity to share God's word from your pulpit. I want to thank Brother Doug and Brother Gary for all their support that they've given me in helping me get these things lined out. And before I get started this morning, I want to say that the word of Scripture that was read this morning, I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that it sets the stage this morning for what it is that God is wanting me to convey to you. And Brother Gary, I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer, and then after that, if you'll key that video up, we're going to play that video, and then I'll get into the message this morning. But on behalf of me and my wife Amy and Hope of the Delta, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your church this morning. It is our heart's desire to glorify God, to glorify His kingdom, to be a part of iron sharpening iron, to be a part of edifying, encouraging, building up, and strengthening the body of Christ this morning. In the book of Romans in 8, verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." I want to set the stage with that this morning, because my message this morning is about the sanctity of human life. However, I also want to encourage you to know that our Heavenly Father sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross so that we did not live a life under condemnation as believers in Jesus Christ, but that by the refining of the fire and by our life of obedience and forgiveness, He gives us the opportunity to stand on our feet one more time. And so regardless of where your life has been this morning, regardless of what you've gone through, regardless of what you've done, I want you to know that I'm not here today but to do anything but to use the Word of God and the Spirit of the Holy Spirit through His Son, Jesus Christ, that He has sent us to be an encouragement to you, to be someone that gives you hope that today is a new and a fresh day, and that you can use the things that the Word teaches us and shares with us to be able to move forward in your life and to have that peace that passes all understanding and to know that He truly does love you right where you are. Let's open with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to allow Brother Gary to play this video and message to us. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning humbly, but yet boldly before Your throne of grace, only because of Your Son Jesus sacrificing His life for us and sending us the Helper, the Holy Spirit. So, Father, today I pray that You forgive me of my sins as I stand before this body today, and that You'd make these words Yours, that everything that I would say and do would honor and glorify You in Your kingdom, Father. And, Lord, today I pray that in this sanctuary within the sound of my voice, that, Father, You would minister to the needs of each and every person here today. Not only would there be a special word for somebody today, but Your words would be special to each and every one here today. So, Father, we give You all the glory, and we give You all the honor, and we give You all the praise, taking none of it upon ourselves, that we come here today as humble servants of Yours. And we just ask, Father, in the name of Your Son, that, Lord, You would help us to leave this place today, knowing and being assured of who we are in Christ Jesus, and being fruitful in the community, being fruitful in the schools, being fruitful in our families, in this world that You allow us to travel in, to help use You, Father, through our lives to meet the needs of each person we come in contact with. And we thank You, Father, for the word today. We pray it would encourage, edify, strengthen, and build us up. And we ask all of these things today, Father, in Your Son Jesus' name. Amen. That young lady daily is in classes. She is one of our mothers that has become an intricate part of Hope, and she gives of her life freely there to serve there, and is a blessing that God is able to work a miracle in her life. This morning we're going to begin by helping you understand that my objective today is to inform you that Hope of the Delta is a missional ministry. And we have a mission, we have a vision, we have values that we adhere to. We convey that mission and that vision by the Word of God. We do that because it's important that we help you understand that we're not here supporting human life just out of thin air. We're going to use the Word of God to help you understand our position. And to say that human life is hopefully something that you understand that is important, it's very, very important. And for us to disregard that, we need to understand that life is something that God has ordained. We want you to understand that financially, physically, politically, that this is not that kind of an issue. I don't come here today having a political position from you. I come here today to help you understand that human life is a spiritual issue. And Hope of the Delta, it was designed, it was breathed life into by a group of individuals that became convicted over the fact that in our Delta region, and by the way, Saline and Hensley County and Pulaski County fall within that objective, that we realized that the numbers that impacted the Delta in those areas were astronomical when you looked at the rest of the state of Arkansas. And so this morning, their mission, their vision, their values is to go against the grain of this sin. We're here today to help you understand that we want to educate the people of Hensley, of East End, of Sheridan, of Saline County, and Grant County. And our vision is part of that. And I want to bring you alongside as Christians to understand that there are unsaved citizens out there. And that isn't something that we need to look at and be disregardful of. So it's a personal issue to some people. But I want to tell you here this morning, for us at Hope of the Delta, us as a believer, that it is a spiritual issue. So Hope's mission is to empower men and women. Notice I said men and women, not just women. But our mission is to empower the men and the women that find themselves in a situation where their personal relationship with Jesus Christ is suffering. See, a lot of ministries out there today, they go at a particular issue, and they disregard the spiritual part of that person's life. See, for us, we want you to understand that we realize that until you change the inside, it's not going to manifest anything positive on the outside. I have a saying in life that we can all do something for a little while, but unless you have had a spiritual change inside your soul, man, your mind, your will, your emotions, you're not going to allow that to impact your daily life. You're not going to have a foundation that you're always coming back to. So part of our objective, our front burner issue, our primary issue, is to impact them and to help them understand they need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't understand. When this lady first came into the center, the first thing that they did is they sat down in a room with her with a trained, educated counselor, a professional that knows what he or she is doing, that's been educated, trained, has a degree to do this. My office is right across several of them. And they sit down and they begin to talk to these individuals, these mothers that are pregnant and that are abortion-minded. And the very first thing that happens is they share the message, the saving message of Jesus Christ with them. If I don't impact you in anything else I say today, I want you to know that is the front burner issue for Hope of the Delta. That is primary. And so the next thing is that we want them to understand that they can have a more positive, more abundant fiscal life for themselves and their children, to choose not to abort their unborn child, but to have an abundant life for their families. In the book of John, in chapter 10, verse 10, there is a scripture, and I want you to go there with me, if you will, this morning. In John chapter 10, verse 10, we're going to start out there today. And here's what the scripture says. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, but yet I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullness. And a lot of your translations will say, and have life more abundantly. You see, the Holy Spirit resides in us, not only that because of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we know that there's a day and time we're going to experience the fullness of God's glory in heaven. But He desires for us to experience the abundance of His Spirit in us today in our lives as we walk every day. And so for us to have a more abundant life and have a life that is abounding in the fullness of the joy of God and His strength for our mind, our body, and our soul, that is the encapsulated part of our raw emotions. What do we surrender to? What do we submit to? What do we give our lives over to? And so the vision is that we envision a community that experiences a spiritual awakening so that all of these individuals that come to know Christ will have a life that is held in high esteem, so that abortion is no longer existent. See, that's the primary goal, but for them to choose not to abort their child, for them to choose not to do things to themselves that would impact their mind, their body, their emotions, their will in a negative way, period. And so that's the reason why we see a lot of problems in our society today, because even the psychological community is only trying to fix that is external from the soul man. And it only takes you so far. So that these individuals will exhibit, don't shoot me, sexual integrity. Individuals will be God-fearing, emotionally and socially well-adjusted families, and that they are understanding that their lives were created by a holy God, and for them to maintain them with those hopes and those values. So we honor God in all that we do. Hope of the Delta wants to maintain that integrity, that excellence, and that professionalism in everything that we do in our programs and in our services. So today, know that everything that we're doing, its foundation is based on all of these biblical principles that we're going to talk about today. So that we practice responsible stewardship, that's something that we do, based on a faith, based on godly responsibility, and that we always work as a team. One of the things that I love to share about Hope is that, and I shared this with Brother Doug, I told him, I said, the reason why that it was easy for me to partner with Hope is because out of all the places that I've ever served to do supply work, to do interim work, pastoring work, I've never seen a place that has more integrity. I was telling a gentleman just a few days ago that my office is in a part of the building that unless the rest of the staff that works there daily is there, I can't even get into. Because on the other side of that steel 3-foot-wide door is three people that work there. And they're the only three people that the executive board will allow to have access to any money at all. three people. When our speakers, when they go out and they speak in churches and they come back with resources, we have an accountability system where somebody in that church has to help sign that paper with them so that the church gets a copy and that copy goes back to the center. I, as an individual, I email our pastors and I ask them a list of questions that go with them. How much money did your church give? And that money goes directly to one person and I never see it again. And so if it doesn't get to them right, they come back to me. And that's the only time I touch it. So our question today is this. What's at the core of today's message? What am I really here to talk to you about? Where are we? Where are we going? Where are we headed? As Bible-believing Christians, we must believe that man is made in the image of God from the moment of conception. So let me ask you a question. When did life stop being sacred? The message of hope today is that we must believe in the sanctity of human life. Now that word sanctity, or sanctified, means sacred. So when did we stop allowing human life to be sacred? When did we stop doing that? In the book of Genesis in chapter 1, looking at verses 24 through 31, I want you to follow along with me as we lay a foundation for the message today. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their king, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so that God made the wild animals according to their kind, the livestock according to their kind, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make a man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Now, I want to stop there right now. In the image of God. Now, I want you to think about that. I want you to let that sink in this morning. The next time you think that human life is not sacred, I want you to remember in Genesis that he said that human life is created in the image of God. Lest you decide that it's okay for any of us to decide to play God and be God. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I give you every seed bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for your food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And then finally, in verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning on the sixth day. So God created man in his own image. God saw that what he had made, and he said it was very good. In Genesis 4 and verse 8, he follows up with that. And he says, now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel, and he killed him. You see, Cain murdered Abel, his brother, over selfishness, over anger, over jealousy. And then in chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, Genesis, we see that it says, the Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. so that the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, and the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God destroyed man by flood. Every creature that he had made on land and air and in God in his eyes had found favor in Noah. In Genesis chapter 3, we see the first sin. In chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, here's what happened. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desired for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some of her mud to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. The fall of man. Our choice, our disobedience. You see, Hope of the Delta exists because we as a society, I'm not picking on anybody here, I mean we as a society of people have decided in this particular arena that it is our choice, it's your choice. We must always remember that knowledge is not wisdom. To the carnal, unspiritual mind, the truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. To an individual that uses their carnal mind, unspiritual mind, the truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. In the book of Proverbs 14 and 12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. There is a way which seems right unto man, but in the end thereof there is always death. You and I are created in the image of God, which means to be in the resemblance of God. How many of you here this morning walk around and you run into old friends and relatives, people that knew your father or your mother when you were growing up, and they'd say, man, you look just like your father. Or man, young lady, you look just like your mother. You and I were created in the resemblance of God. It's important for us to understand where we come from, what we're connected to. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it says, the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Anathoth, in the territory of Benjamin, the word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. And through the reign of Jehoiakim, a son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah. When the people of Jerusalem went into exile, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, before you were birthed, before I breathed life into you, I set you apart and I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. I want to impact you this morning in such a way. I want you to understand that this is a crossroads in our society. This is a crossroads in our thinking as we raise up generation after generation after generation. The infinite wisdom of God, the Word of God, is the will of God. And the will of God is the Word of God. And somewhere along the way, we began as a people to believe that we are smarter than God. We know more than God. And the Bible tells us that there is no wisdom, no knowledge, or no understanding that we gain on our own. All wisdom, all knowledge, all understanding comes from God above. And I want to tell you today that knowledge is not wisdom. And so we take our knowledge, and we take what we understand of that knowledge and we apply it to our lives out of convenience for ourselves. And we decide to take over and move forward and do the things that we think are better for ourselves than even what God does. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the scripture says right here, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living thing." I want you to go back, look, and see what it says. It says, "The Lord God formed the man." Do you realize that when you think that something that you've done, you chose an autonomous act of your own free will and accord, and you believe that because you are flesh and blood and you made a decision, whether right or wrong in your mind at that time, you think that something that happened between you and another individual, that you created that human in your life. But the Bible clearly says that God created that child. In John 11, 25 and 26, and Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and I am the life, and he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Whosoever believes in me will have life even though he dies." In Romans 3, 23, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we've established the fact that we are all carnal, sinful human beings, and that the Bible is clear when it says that there is no good in any of us. People will come up to you and they'll say, "You know, old Dean, he was a good man." Let me tell you, I'm as carnal and sinful as the next man that sits and breathes air in this room. And without Jesus Christ in my life, I have no hope, lest I boast about myself before you. For the sake of our discussion today, I'll refer to this child as a her or a she. So I want to introduce you today to this young lady. I want to introduce you to her, and I want to tell you some interesting facts. From conception, a unique human DNA is created. One of a kind individual DNA. Now, I want you to really listen to what I'm about to share with you. These next 10 or 12 points are a key part this morning. From conception, a unique human DNA is created. You never know when the next Billy Graham was lost. You never know when the next Mother Teresa was lost. You never know when the next surgeon is lost. You never know when the next Mother of the Year is lost. You never know when your next pastor was lost. You never know. One-of-a-kind individual DNA, then it will never, ever, ever again be recreated. Can't go to McDonald's and get another you. Not going to happen. At the moment of conception, the following things have already been predetermined. The sex, the hair color, the eye color. At the moment of conception, at 22 days, the child's heart starts to beat. I remember the first time I sat down at 10 weeks, and the ultrasound showed my son's heart beating at 10 weeks. And I'll admit to you, that's when it became real to me. Hope of the Delta, we have ultrasound trained nurses and doctors in our facility. When our mobile units go out, they have trained RNs, specially trained, to run these ultrasound machines. This comes before most women know that they're even pregnant. Interesting. 3 weeks, you can see her eyes and her ears. 6 weeks, you can see how her fingers and her toes are moving. At 6 to 11 weeks, you can see how she has grown 5 times her original size. At 9 weeks, her eyes are fully developed. 10 weeks, all organs are functioning. 11 weeks, she can smile and frown, wiggle her fingers, wiggle her toes, and suck her thumb. At 11 weeks, she will be up moving around 50 times an hour. At week 13, her ears begin to pick up on vibrations, and she will be comforted by her mother's heartbeat. 13 weeks, she will experience REM sleep, which likely means she is dreaming even before she is born, even before she is birthed. At 6 months, everything is fully developed and fully functioning. At 38 to 42 weeks, she will be born. And I want you to know that before the moment of conception, based on what the Word of God has shared with us this morning, God already had a plan for her life. Life is sacred because God created it, and because Christ, when He died on the cross, as I spoke to you earlier from the very beginning, He restored your life. Jesus says in John 14:6, I want you to go there with me. John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. At the heart of what we believe is Southern Baptist, we believe there's one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That is important for us to understand this morning. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Do you understand this morning that every person in here has the ability to rationalize and to reason with our own personal way of thinking? How many of you, when you bake, do you sift and filter things? And you do that, why? Because you want texture to be a certain way? You want to remove the impurities? How many times have you watched your grandmother and your mother soak and pick through beans and peas? Why? Because when she puts it on the table, she wants you to know she's done all the work. You see, we're not designed, we're not equipped to do the thinking that God does for us. I have people tell me all the time, no, I did that. No, I did that. I made that choice. Yeah, you did make that choice. But the Bible is clear that God is the one who creates life. It's not you. Have you ever thought about how many people you know in your life, including yourself, that are entertained outside sexual purity for yourselves and nothing ever happened? There's a reason why. Because God didn't call it into existence. And you think, oh, I dodged a bullet. No, you didn't dodge a bullet. God didn't create a life. So lest we think that we possess the wisdom that comes with knowledge and understanding, that's not true. Sarah Catherine, Amy's daughter, my stepdaughter, one time I was talking to her and I said, Sarah Catherine, I said, let me tell you about knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. I said, knowledge is what you gain. I said, understanding is being able to find out what words are defined by, what defines those words, what's the application for those things. I said, but wisdom is knowing what to do with that information, with that knowledge and that understanding. And that only comes from God, not from us. So how do we keep life sacred? Well, the first thing we've got to do is we've got to accept salvation that Jesus offers. As a people, we will not understand and or appreciate the value of the sanctity or the sacredness of human life until we as individuals understand that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for your sins. You're sitting here this morning, you say, Brother Dancer, I don't know if I know Jesus Christ the way you're talking about I should know Jesus Christ. I don't know if I understand truly biblically when it says that there is no way to get to the Father except through the Son. I've never done that in my life. You say to me, Brother Dancer, this morning I made some decisions in my life in this arena, or I've made some decisions in my life in other arenas where I've taken on my own knowledge, my own wisdom, my own understanding, and I've applied that to my life. And because of my goodness, and because people tell me I'm good, and because I'm a person of high standing in society, in this community I live in, and the people of this church will be so surprised if I walk down the aisle today. But Brother Dancer, I'm not sure I'm that person. May I share with you that there's no shame in admitting that. That's when victory in life begins. But to stay in it is like the prodigal son, where he would rather intermingle and eat and lay and eat and be with the swine, the pigs, as opposed to go back and say, Father, I have sinned against my Father, my God, and I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I want to return to the land of milk and honey and the pomegranates. I want to return to a life where I can have a peace that I can walk in. I want to return to a life that even though I've made some mistakes, I realize that Jesus loves me and that He has paid the price to restore me. See, that's important. And I don't know if you're there. That's not for me to know, but God knows. Remember in the very beginning I told you I'm as carnal as the rest of you? Well, there's a reason why I tell you that, because that's true. Lest any man in here boast that he's better than me and I'm better than you, you need to understand that the Bible says that we are as filthy rags before an almighty God. And it's only because of our intercessor, the one who sits at the right hand of the throne interceding for you and I, that we become clean before the presence of God. So until we understand that we need to accept salvation in Jesus Christ, we're not ever as a people in society going to look at life as sacred.
See, we bought into a society that said, it's my choice. It's my choice what I do. Well, you know, the Father does give us a free will. Doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean the decisions we make are right. In the book of Ephesians, I want you to go there with me. Book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10. And here's what the Bible has to say. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. The good news this morning is you don't have to do anything of your own accord. Because you can't save yourself. The Bible also says, just like He says, I create life, the Bible also says that God brings forth the fruit. I can't lead you to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I can't lead you to that. I mean, true enough, I can present an opportunity for you, but the Bible says God brings forth the fruit. That'll surprise some of you. Oh, I can just choose to accept Jesus Christ. Well, you can choose. But see, there's a pricking of the Holy Spirit that must begin first. And that's when God begins to call you. He begins to draw you. He begins to convict you. Do you realize that without God's conviction, even the disciples wouldn't have known the difference between right and wrong? Not by works, so that no man can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. As believers in Christ, we must all make the decision to live out our purpose. What is your purpose this morning? You may say, Brother Dancer, I don't know what my purpose is. I remember as a young man of 28 years old, I woke up one morning, having been raised in church all my life. On Sunday morning, I got up and I said, I'm going to go to church today. And then I said, well, I don't know where I'm going to go to church today. Hadn't been in 6 years. Decided to get up, so I rustled around my closet, found a white button-down, a pair of jeans, and some halfway decent-looking dress shoes. And I went to church, and I remember leaving there that morning in my car going home, and I thought, that felt good. I'm going to go back tonight. And before I realized it, all the stuff that I had filled my life with that had left me empty, it all just come resonating in on me. It just come pouring in on me. It's like going to a picture show, a theater, and watching a movie of your life. Guys, I'm going to tell you, if you're waiting until you get it right, if you're waiting until you get yourself ready, you get yourself looking the way Jesus wants you to look before you walk down the aisle, accept Him, you're never going to get there. If you're waiting for your fellow brothers and sisters in your family, in your church body, to act and look 100% of the time like Christ, you're never going to get up and walk down this aisle. Because I got news for you, it's not going to happen then either. You need to realize these things. You have certain people in your life that you think are perfect. I used to think my grandmother was the most perfect thing there was. I used to put my grandfather and my dad up on a pedestal because I thought they were just like the greatest thing in the world. When I watched my grandpa shoot a rabbit going across a picked over cotton field with a .22 and making roll, I thought that man was the greatest thing ever. And little did I know, without Jesus Christ, he was going to bust hell wide open. What's that saying out? You're never going to get it. 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 You have to accept it. He wants to give it to you. Not so that you can be perfect. You're not going to be perfect. Quit trying. He sent His Son down the cross because He knew that you weren't going to get it. He knew that you were never, 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 never going to get it. That's why He died for us. I want you to get that. I want you to make a decision to live out your purpose that God, through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is convicting and He has breathed into us. In 1 John, in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and I'm going to close out after this. Whosoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whosoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Now that verse 11, that was free for me to you. But the key part in verse 9 for me is this. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Now, hate's a pretty strong word, don't you think? If you and I this morning, we claim to love Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and we claim to have already experienced that new birth experience, and we follow through in believer's baptism, which, by the way, I did at age 12, and it didn't do anything for me. I pray to God that when you did it at age 9 or 12 or whatever, it did. But for me, it didn't. But if you claim to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but yet you're still in darkness, here's what I would commit to you this morning. If you do not know Jesus, today is your day. Today you need to say yes and receive that gift and allow Him to cleanse you and restore you and purify you. If you say, Brother Dancer, man, some of this stuff has hit me today, and I've got some repenting to do. I've made some decisions that at one time I thought were right, but I know now they weren't. But I've never confessed that because my pride allowed me to come before a fall. And so I've never really wholeheartedly repented and confessed of that. I would encourage you to do that today. To do business with God, as my grandmother used to say. You do business with God today. And for those of you that have made choices in the past, and God has restored you and forgiven you, and yet you can't forgive yourself, remember what I said in the beginning. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus said it Himself when He told the disciples. He said, I didn't come to condemn you. I come to convict you. He loves you. He has restored you. He has forgiven you. Rise up and walk in that forgiveness and allow your life to have a purpose to help meet a need in our society today. To be able to be that person that God desires you to be. Because remember, the Word says that He created you with a purpose. He has plans for you. Not to do you harm, but to do good. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them that makes them stumble. Are you living in the light today? Are you that Christian here today that's living in the light? Well, don't hang your light up. Hang God's light up. Hang His Son's light up. And walk out and quit boasting about all the good in your life now. Don't come across people that are having a struggle in their life and be condescending. Temper justice with mercy and be a light of the Lord. Be compassionate. Be humble. Do we all struggle with that? My wife's sitting here on the second row, and she'll tell you I struggle with it. But the Word of God is reminding us today that's what we're supposed to do. True agape love, phileo love, does not destroy. Remember that. If the Christ love that the Word talks about is in your body, then that phileo love, that agape love, it does not destroy human life. We as a church, as pastors, as Christians, as fellow believers across the world, once and for all, we must take a stand for what God says is sacred. For what God says is sacred, not you. I don't know about you as a believer, but I don't let you guide my life. I had a pastor one time, he told me, he said, if I tell you something, he said, you find it in that word. And if you don't, you file it in file 13. In other words, he said, you inspect what you expect. So just because somebody tells you they think what they did was right, that doesn't mean nothing to me. The only thing that means something to me is what's right here. And when I finally got old enough in my life where I said, I'm going to read this thing they call the Bible, and I'm going to find out who's been telling me the truth and who's been lying to me. And I don't need them to tell me if they're telling me the truth anymore, because I know if they are, I know if they're not. Once and for all, we need to take a stand for what is sacred to God. We have stopped living in love, but yet we claim to love God. Boy. If I tell you that my truck is white and you walk out the door and you see it's black, you're going to know I lied to you. An old friend of mine, he used to say, sweet and bitter water don't come out of the same fountain. I want you to chew on that today when you go home. When we choose not to love others, the unborn, we devalue sacred life. When we choose to devalue the unborn, we choose to devalue sacred life. As the praise team comes up, Brother Doug, as you come up, I'm going to close us out in a word of prayer from my part. But I want to encourage you. Not because I'm special. Not because your praise team is special. Not because you're in a special place today. None of that. Because I'm not special. This lady right here, most of the time she thinks I'm special, but there's times when she knows I'm not. Just like our mamas and daddies do and our brothers and sisters do. The people in this church, they love you. Because you know why they love you? Because they got Jesus in their heart. And I promise you this. When I walked the aisle when I was 28 years old, I was so happy that I had accepted Jesus a few days before, I didn't even care if they loved me. And guess what? If you need to do that today, you're not going to care either. But I got news for you. They love you. And they're going to hug you, and they're going to embrace you. And they're going to say, Dean, I never knew you weren't saved. All them years I went to church with you, I just thought you were saved. And I said, well, I would. But if you've never made that decision today, and you need to, that's important too today. So as we sing today, as you listen to the words of these songs, if you need to come forward, Brother Doug will be here. And if you need to talk to me, I'll be right there. I'll be more than happy to talk to you. I want to say thank you, and God bless each and every one of you for allowing me to come into your church today. Brother Doug?
Let's all stand. 4:30.